Amen. What a wonderful Savior we serve. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He was buried. He rose again the third day, and then he was seen by so many different people there afterwards. And what a wonderful thing that whoever believes in him has eternal life. Their sins are washed away, white as snow. Let's go ahead and look to our Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your goodness to us in Jesus Christ. And just as I have said, we thank you that Jesus died on the cross for us, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. I thank you that whoever believes on him has eternal life. That is a wonderful promise that you have given to us. And you will never break one of your promises. So we thank you for that. I pray that we'd have a burden to share that good news with those that we meet, whether it be our neighbors or our family, our friends, our co-workers. I pray that we'd have that burden to share the gospel with the lost. And I pray that you would save lost souls. I pray that we'd be able to disciple them. And I pray that glory would be given to your name in a great way. I do thank you for this this great privilege to be with you here this morning. I thank you that you are with us all the time. But I thank you for this time to gather together as a group of born-again believers to worship you. And I pray that you would bless the singing of the songs and that you would bless the time that we spend in your word. And I pray that you'd help us, even as we look into your word, that you'd use it to mold us more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that Jesus is the light of the world. So we do pray even for our church. I thank you for each one here this morning. I do pray even for those among us that are not feeling well. There are many physical sicknesses going around, whether it be colds or the flu, or whether it even be cancer or other difficulties. Even do pray for those who are struggling with finances or housing or whatever the case may be. But I thank you that you are a faithful God and that you want to hear all of our needs and our burdens and our requests. And I pray even that we'd leave all of our worries at your feet, because we know that you are faithful and you are great and you want to answer our prayers. So I pray that even you would help us this morning, help us to focus on you, not to be distracted by other things. Help us to have that desire to be like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. If you take your song books with me this morning, your hymnals, and turn to hymn number 191. 191, we're going to sing this morning about the great power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as we sing hymn number 191. Sing it like you mean it, folk. All right. Is there power in the blood? Did it cleanse you? Amen. Well, then it's not just that there's power, power. It's there is power, okay? So let's get to it. All right. Let's talk about that power. Let's sing it, shall we? On the third.
Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin's names are lost in its life.
Oh,
you. You may be seated. You came to life there. I appreciate it. All right, now let's turn over to hymn number 177. 177. We'll sing some more about that love that shed that blood. What wondrous love is this?
What wondrous love is this?
You okay? Am I going too fast? Okay. I'm used to this song a little faster, so I'll slow down. Let's try it again. Okay? You ready? Okay. All right, here we go.
What wondrous love is this, oh my soul?
Through that with me. Isn't it wonderful to know that when we get to heaven, we won't have those problems? All right, Brother Jesse.
All right, good morning, everyone. Thank you that you could join us to worship our Lord and Savior this morning. If you would please turn to John chapter 8 with me. We're going to be reading from John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come.
Now I have the opportunity to worship the Lord in tithes and offerings. And Brother Bob, would you lead us to the throne of grace?
Heavenly Father, we come to you and thank you for the privilege of worshiping you, gathering together and having a part of getting your word out. Ask your blessing upon us all. In the lovely name of Christ.
Amen. Jesus, all your anxiety and all your cares. Amen. All right, let's turn now to hymn number 196. 196, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Just over one page to 198. I was telling Pastor this morning that, in my opinion, there are two songs, and this is a wonderful, glorious opinion, I know, but in my opinion, there are two songs that we could sing every Sunday. And number one would be Victory in Jesus, and number two would be Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Those are my two favorite hymns of all time. This one is my favorite, my absolute favorite, and I think it's because I like to pretend that I'm a bass and sing all that stuff down there at the bottom. But it's only a pretend thing. So let's stand together and sing about that wonderful grace of Jesus, shall we?
grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, preaching the most divine.
Someday when I get to heaven, I'll be able to hit that praise note too. All right. Thank you. You may be seated.
Is the Lord God Almighty. The children can go downstairs for their special service. So if you're a child, you can go downstairs if you want to and have your children's church down there. And otherwise, if you want to stay up here, that's okay too. So let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for how holy you are. I thank you that you are so good to us. Thank you that you have given to us your word. And most of all, I thank you that you have given to us your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, was buried, and rose again. I thank you for salvation in his name. I pray even as we look into your word, into the book of John, I pray that we'd have a greater appreciation of who Jesus is and for what he has done for us and what he wants us to do. So we pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Light. Have you ever thought about light? Okay, and how wonderful light is. Just think of what a world would be like, what this world would be like if you didn't have any light at all. Now, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? Because none of us have ever really been somewhere where there has been no light, at least not for any length of time. Light is something that we enjoy, isn't it? It's something that even more than that, it's something that we can't live without. Light is essential, not only for our enjoyment, but for our very existence. Now, in today's world, we're constantly surrounded by light, aren't we? Constantly surrounded by light. It's hard for us to totally get away from that light, to shut ourselves in complete darkness. Now, perhaps you've been in a cave before, and where they shut out the lights, and it's completely pitch dark. But most of the times, you know, we have light. Whenever it starts getting dark out, okay, the sun is set, what do you usually do if you're inside, and it starts getting a little dark? What do? You flip on the light switch, right? And what do you have? You have a light. Okay? Even whenever it's time to go to bed, okay, and it's time to go to sleep or whatever, you turn out the lights, but even then, usually you're not in complete darkness, are you? Because you may have an electric clock, an LED clock, and that shines a little bit, okay? Or you may have a night light, or maybe through the window you have the moon shining through, or you may have a utility light shining through the window. Now, when we're on the road, and most of us have been able to, you know, either drive on the road or we've been a passenger anyway, we see all different types of light at night, especially when you're in the city, okay? Think of all the lights that you see. You see the car headlights, okay? And have you noticed how many different colors the car headlights are? Some of those newer ones, some of them have a green tint to them or maybe a blue tint. It's interesting. Some of those are really bright, too. You see the red of the taillights. You see the yellow turn signal. You see those semis on the interstate, and some of them are really lit up with the lights along on the trailer there. It's just neat to see all those different lights. When you're in the city, you see the red and the yellow and the green of the traffic lights. And those new lights are really bright, especially if you have rain on the highway. Those new LED lights of the traffic lights, they're bright. There's lights on the billboards. There's lights on top of the buildings. There's lights everywhere you look. And it's getting to be that time of year where people will put up lights just for the fun of it. Okay, how many of you decorate your houses with lights, with Christmas lights? Okay, and those are pretty. You know, you drive down the roads, especially when you have snow, and you see the reds and the greens and the yellows and the pinks, or even just the whites or the blues, whatever the case may be. All types of different lights. But you know what? Even if our city had a blackout and we didn't have any electricity, we'd still have light, wouldn't we? You'd have the light of the moon at night. You'd have the light of the stars. But even if it was a cloudless, moonless night, you could still have light by what? Lighting a candle or a flashlight or a lantern, whatever the case may be. But of course, as we think about light in our daily existence, the brightest light that we're familiar with is what? The sun. The sun is a really bright light. And oftentimes we take that sun for granted, don't we? We take that sun for granted. But what would happen if all of a sudden the sun disappeared? How long would we be able to last? Not very long. Because not only does the sun give us light, but it gives us heat. And we'd just become a huge ice cube here. But even as far as the sun's light, without the sun's light, no plants could survive. And we couldn't survive much longer without the sun's light. We need that physical light to survive on this earth. And it was God who in the very beginning said, "Let there be light." And there was light. But God hasn't just provided for us physical light. He has provided spiritual light for us. Something that is so much even more important than that physical light. And that spiritual light comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we've already read it this morning. The book of John chapter 8, we'll be looking at verse 12 through verse 20. John chapter 8, and beginning in verse 12, and here Jesus plainly tells the Jews, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now we think previously in the book of John, we've looked through the first seven chapters now of the book of John. Do you remember Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well? That woman of Samaria at the well. And Jesus told that woman that He is the source of living water. Now the woman was interested in physical water. She came to that well every day and she drew water up to quench her physical thirst. And she was interested in a supply of physical water so that she would never have to come back to that well and draw water. But yet Jesus told her that He is the source of something that could quench her spiritual thirst. Not only could he provide her physical needs, but her spiritual needs, something that gave her true satisfaction, true contentment. Jesus is the one who can meet our deepest need, that need for spiritual life. We continue reading through the book of John, and Jesus tells the people that he is the true bread that comes from heaven. Okay, and the Jews were interested in bread. Okay, of course, that was a staple in their diet. Whenever they got hungry, they would eat bread and other food as well. And they were interested as far as their history. Their ancestors wandered through the wilderness, and God provided what? He provided manna that came down from heaven. But Jesus was telling them about something that came from heaven that was so much greater than that physical manna that they could eat. And he said that he is the true bread that came from heaven. Not talking about something that you can eat physically, but something spiritually that you must accept. And he was talking about his own death on the cross. That is how he would provide true spiritual food and spiritual drink for the people. Spiritual life. That's the most important. Your spiritual salvation. Those people that were listening to him, even though they have been born in this world physically, the moment that they were born spiritually dead. They were separated from God. Yes, Jesus is the bread from heaven. He has the answer to all of our needs. And he would provide himself as the sacrifice for our sins. He would die on the cross and he would rise again. Jesus is the source of living water. He is the bread that comes from heaven. And now we find in John chapter 8, Jesus plainly tells the people that he is the light of the world. Now we just got done going through John chapter 7, and in John chapter 7 we find Jesus coming to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And during this feast, there was a ceremony in which there would be huge lamps that were lit. And in the night, these lamps would be lit and they'd give light, and the people would celebrate and they would sing and they would dance. And it'd be a great time of joy and celebration. And so it's in this backdrop, with the people remembering this wonderful time of celebration during the Feast of Tabernacles, when those great lights would be lit in great celebration, it's during this time of happiness that Jesus proclaims that he is the light of the world. Those lamps in the temple, they wouldn't burn forever. Their light was only temporary. But Jesus Christ is a light that would never go dark. He is a light that would shine forever. Now you think back to the very beginning. It was God who created light in the very beginning. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It was God who created the sun and the moon and the stars, those things that give us light at night and during the day. It was God who showed himself to Moses in the burning bush. It was God who led the people of Israel in the wilderness by what? By the pillar of cloud and fire. It's God who descended upon Mount Sinai in fire to give the people his law. It was the glory of the Lord that filled the temple after Solomon had prayed that prayer of dedication. God displays himself many times through that fire, through that light. In the Old Testament, we read in the book of Psalms, chapter 27, the 27th Psalm in verse 1, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We go to Psalm 119 in verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We go to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." We go to the book of Isaiah, and more than once Isaiah promised a servant. And that servant of the Lord, the Messiah, would come as a light to the Gentiles. We read in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6. "Indeed," he says, "is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." And so now as we come to John in chapter 8, and we read in verse 12 when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, we realize Jesus is the light. Yes, the Old Testament scriptures, the law, they were a light to the Jews. But Jesus Christ shone even brighter than that Old Testament light, because Jesus was the Word of God in the flesh. He is the light. We read in the beginning of John, turn to John chapter 1 with me. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. We have the Word who is in the beginning. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from John whose name, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And so we find here, the Word is the light. And we find even in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. That's speaking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate in the flesh. John the Baptist spoke about Jesus, saying that He is the light. We find in verse 9, Jesus is the true light that gives light to the world. Then flip over to John chapter 3 with me. John chapter 3, and look at verses 19 through 21. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Jesus is the light. He came to this dark world, a world filled with sin and despair. And Jesus as the light offered hope to this dark world. And Jesus was the only one who could forever dispel that curse of sin. He was the only one who could save lost men and lost women from their desperate plight of ignorance and blindness. It was Jesus who said, He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Whoever puts their trust in Jesus Christ, whoever follows Him, will be delivered from that realm of darkness, that realm of the devil, and be placed instead into the wonderful realm of Jesus Christ, the realm of God's light. He will have the light that produces life. And to us, these things are words of comfort. They're words of hope. They're words that cause us to rejoice in our Savior Jesus Christ. But for many in Jesus' day, and even for many living today, they question the words, and they question the claims of Jesus. And they think, well, who are you, Jesus, to be saying such things about yourself? Look there at verse 13 of chapter 8. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. And no doubt the Pharisees here were trying to catch Jesus in his own words. Because we read earlier in John chapter 5, you can turn there with me, John chapter 5 and 31. We find Jesus saying himself, If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Whenever Jesus said this in John 5 and verse 31, when Jesus said this, He's not saying that He could never give testimony concerning Himself, concerning who He is. Because look at chapter 5 and verse 19. We find Jesus answering them and say, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus never does anything completely by Himself. He's never isolated. Okay? He never worked a miracle. He never went on a trip. He never said a word that was not first shown to Him by God the Father. The Son does not bear witness of Himself alone, because the Father has already borne witness of Him. And anything that Jesus says is only a repetition of what the Father has already said. Jesus says there in John chapter 5 and verse 32, "There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." And this another that he speaks of is God the Father. Jesus never bears witness of himself in complete isolation. It is always in conjunction with God the Father. I believe the Pharisees here in chapter 8 and in verse 13, I think they're taking Jesus' words in more of a juridical sense. I believe that they were thinking that his sole testimony, his testimony alone, could not stand up in a court of law. But even if Jesus' testimony stood alone, with no other human voice to support his claims, that didn't invalidate or make his testimony false. What Jesus said was true no matter what. Jesus says there in verse 14 of chapter 8, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going." So Jesus knew about himself. He knew who he was. He knew where he had come from. He had come from heaven. And he knew that he would be going back to heaven one day in the near future. But the Pharisees, they had no idea about Jesus Christ, who he was, where he had truly come from, where he was going. Their judgment was flawed. We look at verse 15. "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one." So the Pharisees here, they hadn't accepted Jesus Christ. They hadn't even accepted God for who he was. And they judge according to the flesh. They had no special insight from God. Their judgment was a worldly judgment. Their judgment was according to human standards. Standards that were impaired and misguided. Their judgment was not given to them by God. It was rather influenced by none other than the devil himself. Yes, the Pharisees, they judged according to the flesh. But Jesus judged no one. Now, whenever he says that he judges no one, that doesn't mean that he would never judge. It means that he would never judge as the Pharisees judge. Jesus would never judge by human standards. Jesus would always judge by God's perfect standard. He could do nothing else. Look at verse 16 with me. "And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me." So it was impossible for Jesus to judge as the Pharisees judged. He judged always in harmony with the Father. He did everything in harmony with the Father. Even as Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Jesus' judgment, it could be nothing other than the truth. Nothing other than just. Jesus is not alone. He is always with His Father, with God the Father who sent Him. And when the situation is viewed in that way, Jesus could say what He did in verses 17 and 18. "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." So Jesus is not speaking in solitude. He is testifying the truth about himself. But also the Father is testifying the same thing about himself. They are one in their testimony. They are united. And their testimony is absolutely true. Now this isn't the first time that Jesus had spoken to the Pharisees about his Father. But the Pharisees, they hadn't grasped really what Jesus meant when he talked about his Father. Or perhaps they just didn't want to recognize, or they didn't want to accept what he had said as true. But they asked him there in verse 19, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." Yes, Jesus had spoke concerning his Father who had sent him. And the Pharisees were wondering, "Well, Jesus, where is your Father?" And they're thinking in human terms. They're thinking perhaps as far as location there on earth. The Pharisees couldn't possibly accept that truth concerning Jesus and concerning His Father. They couldn't accept the truth that Jesus had come from heaven. And that is where His Father was at. Jesus lays it down for the Pharisees. He bluntly tells them the way it is. He says, "You don't know Me, and you don't know My Father." If they would have known Jesus, if they would have accepted Him, then they would have known the Father. They would have accepted God the Father. But whenever they rejected Jesus Christ, they plainly demonstrated that they truly didn't know God the Father. And all of those Jews would have said, "Yes, I know God. I'm close to God." But yet it was made clear that whenever they rejected Jesus Christ, they really didn't know God at all. They had no knowledge of the Father. So we look at verse 20. And we see these words Jesus spoke in the treasury as He taught in the temple. And no one laid hands on Him, for His hour had not yet come. So Jesus here had been speaking in the temple treasury. And no doubt that was in the court of the women, where those lamps were lit. And Jesus had not minced words with the Pharisees. He told them like it was. And no doubt, these Jews, they were angry. They were wanting to grab Jesus and take Him into custody. They wanted Him to be imprisoned or stoned or whatever else. Not anything good. These people were children of Satan. These unsaved Pharisees were. They couldn't stand listening to these true and these holy words of God, spoken by Jesus, the Lamb of God. They wanted to take Him by force. They had that great desire. But yet we read that no one laid a hand on Him. And it wasn't because they didn't want to. It was because God's perfect time had not come yet. Jesus' hour had not yet come. The hour of Christ's betrayal, the hour of His death, were in the hands of God. And no man could do anything to Him until it was appointed for that to happen. And Jesus proclaims Himself in this passage to be the light of the world. We're reminded of the words in John chapter 3 and verse 19. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So even though Jesus freely offers the privilege and the joy of following Him, He offers that to everyone. He is the perfect light. But sad to say, there are few who actually choose to follow the light. There are few who choose to follow Jesus Christ. Most people choose to stay in the darkness. Most people choose to stay where they're at, to continue to grope in their blindness and in their ignorance, to bask in that fleeting pleasure of sin. That's what most people do. The Pharisees, they should have known concerning the promised Messiah, but yet they failed to recognize Jesus Christ. Even whenever He stood right before their faces and said, "I am the light of the world." These Pharisees were blind leaders of the blind. They refused God's good gift of redemption and forgiveness. As we look today, it's sad to say, there are many people like the Pharisees. There are many people that have decided concerning Jesus, "I'd rather stay in the darkness than follow You who are the light." They would rather wander in the darkness than enjoy the light of life. But yet today, there are many. There are countless people who need to hear that message that Jesus is the true light, the light of the world. There are many who need to hear that Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only way to have fellowship with God. And let us be encouraged and let us have that burden to tell them the good news. Let us pray that God would save their souls. And let us wait eagerly to see God bring in that harvest of lost men and women redeemed for Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Let us be praying that the lost souls who are in darkness, that they would see the great light, that they would be saved from their sins, and that God would be glorified in a great way. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. I thank You that He plainly told the world who He was. I thank you that whoever believes on him has eternal life. I pray that we would have that burden to tell others about Jesus Christ, to tell them that he is the true life, that he is the life, that he is the only way to heaven. I pray that you would save many sinners, that many lost people would be found in Jesus Christ. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll take our hymnals and turn to hymn number 336, Jesus I Come. Let's stand together as we sing in closing. 336, Jesus I Come.
Coming to Jesus Christ as the true light of the world. I hope you've already done that. You are following him, because in Jesus alone is light and him alone is life. I hope you're serving him with all of your strength. But if you have not yet believed on Jesus Christ, if you haven't accepted him as your Savior, you can do that right now where you're at. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You'll be given eternal life. Your sins will be washed away. Jesus, I come. Do you have that burden to tell others that Jesus is the light of the world? Let's go ahead and sing stanza number 4.
On the 4th. We do thank you for the fact of sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to live a sinless life upon this earth and to die as the perfect sacrifice to pay a debt that we could never repay. Father, we ask that you will drive these simple truths that Jesus is the light of the world home in our lives. Father, that we will assimilate them. And then, as your word also says, that we might reflect that light that is Jesus in our lives, and let our lives shine as a light to men, that they may see your good work in us. Father, we ask that you will help us to be faithful witnesses of that light. And it's in your Son's name we do pray. Amen.